And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's just turning 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday. It's the 15th of August. How are you all keeping out there? I do hope you are very well indeed, and we look forward to have you on board for the next 3 hours and, of course, throughout the day here on Highland Radio. Our lines are open for you right now. We have some interesting items lined up for you, but if you want to raise your own issue yourself, 086 60 25000, that is the WhatsApp and the text number. Just to remind you, by the way, if it suits you better, you can send your voice notes to that WhatsApp number to make your point. If you want to give us a call, we have Caroline, as always, producing and assisted by Shannon, on 07491 25000, and emails, if that's your thing, comments at highlandradio.com, and maybe email might suit you even if you're listening to the podcast or listening overnight and you want to put your views down. We pick that up the next day or as soon as you send them, really, effectively. And lastly, just a quick reminder, you can watch the show on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, on your smart TV and your Fire Stick, or across your mobile devices on Facebook. Derry People, Donegal News this morning. Time to finally make Loch Salt Road safe. The brother of a man who tragically lost his life in a road collision at Loch Salt in 2004 is calling for the road to be made safe once and for all. Prompted to speak out following two recent collisions in the area, Con Duffy said he doesn't want to see another family go through what he did 20 or what his did 20 years ago. Con's brother Declan Duffy was just 20 years old when he lost his life. The Downing's man was on his way to Letterkenny Institute of Technology, where he was a student when the car he was a passenger in plunged into the lake. The incident happened at Loch Salt on the Carrigart Kilmacrenan Road. Con's call for new safety measures on the road came after one of Declan's best friends also appealed for action to be taken. And I believe that was on this programme. Declan Robertson was on with us, highlighting a gap in the wall. There'd been a collision around about rally time, and a big section of the wall had fallen over on a very dangerous corner, and a second vehicle had gone in there thereafter. Now, very shortly after we featured that on this programme, and fair play to Donegal County Council, people were on site closing that gap on the wall, and it looks like new signage has gone up as well. So in relation to that section, credit to the council for responding very, very quickly in that regard. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning, the debacle over these social houses in Milford continues. Now the council doesn't want to buy them anymore. The proposed purchase of 17 social houses at Lochfern Heights in Milford has ended without a resolution. After lengthy negotiations with the developer, Donegal County Council has now rescinded the order to purchase the turnkey development. In a final attempt to resolve the issues arising, the council offered the developer an increased figure of more than £3,733 million, but the terms were not agreed. The developer of the project, PJD Construction, has been informed by the council that any proposals to sell the development to an AHB will require engagement and agreement between the approved housing body and the department. PJ Doherty said that with the rescinding of the order, he now hopes the Cooperative Housing Ireland will purchase the houses, which would mean presumably they would be available for social housing. But in fairness to the council, they upped their offer for these properties by £3.7 million. It wasn't enough, and they have said, right, we're walking away from this situation. Just sticking with the front of the Tyrconnell Tribune, three candidates have been nominated to contest the Fine Gael convention on Monday week as preparations get into full swing for a predicted general election on November 15th. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh from Letterkenny is seeking a nomination, as is Senator Nicky Bradley of Milford, and John McNulty from Kilcar. John McNulty, when we last spoke to him, he was, I think he was indicating as much as he possibly could without announcing it, that he was going to seek a nomination. Senator Nicky Bradley, I understand she might have had an interest in running for the council for Fine Gael. I could be wrong in relation to that, but I believe that is the case. But obviously then she was earmarked or someone nationally or locally thought, right, she could make a good senator with a view to potentially contesting the general election. So there certainly is a momentum there. But Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh has been an incredible, loyal and hard-working rep for Fine Gael, and he would perhaps want to that nomination as well. So it's either Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, Senator Nicky Bradley, or John McNulty from Kilcar. Which way will they go? I think they're selecting two, actually, so it's two from three. I mean, if you're looking for a geographical spread, Nicky and Jimmy are very close together. John McNulty, obviously, closer to that traditional heartland that Dinny McGinley was so successful for the party in. So you'd imagine it's he and one of the other two, but we shall see. The Derry news this morning, two controversial bonfires in Derry are set to go ahead tonight. Bonfires in the Bogside and Creggan will be lit later tonight, despite weeks of behind-the-scenes negotiations to prevent them from going ahead. Now, apparently the Low Pay Commission is suggesting that the minimum wage should increase by over a euro. Now, I was listening to a minister this morning who disputed that, though he wouldn't give the figure for some reason. But either way, it is a potential headache for the government, because the government looks likely to increase the national minimum wage by over a euro an hour in Budget 25. The Low Pay Commission is understood to have recommended increasing the basic pay rate to at least €13.70. Its proposal would help the government deliver on a commitment to replace the minimum wage with a new living wage in 2 years. Now, the government, generally speaking, does accept the recommendations of the Low Wage Commission. But the move is a headache for the coalition, which has been seeking to reduce costs for businesses in the aftermath of record levels of inflation. It's never rejected a recommendation from the commission, but there is increasing concern about handing struggling businesses another financial burden. So every one of these decisions obviously puts greater pressure on businesses to the tune of billions. What do you think? Maybe you're a business person and this could be a tipping point for you in how you are able to operate your business. Maybe you're someone who is earning minimum wage currently and believes that this is the way forward. Or maybe it's time to have that conversation again about anyone who's over, certainly over the age of 18, should all be entitled to the same wage as they all have the same outgoings. I don't know, what do you all think? 086 60 25,000. We might be building more houses, but we're not keeping pace with population growth. It is a problem. The Irish Times tells us that Ireland's population is growing at a rate of nearly 4 people for every new home built, according to a report by an international property group. The Savile report says that the Republic has the worst ratio of housing supply to the population growth among 9 high-income countries it looked at. Now, if I suppose inward immigration is counted as that, we are probably ahead of those 9 countries as well in terms of inward migration. So I wonder, is that factored into these figures? The other countries in the study were the United States, Canada, Australia, the UK, Germany, Spain, Sweden, and the Netherlands. While it is true that many countries across the world are facing housing shortages, it's important to recognise that the severity of Ireland's is on a different level to others, said John Ring, Director of Research at Savills. And in consecutive days, we've been hearing from listeners to this show. Primarily, it's been from Inishowen, if the truth be told, who are either homeless, sleeping in their cars, and we're trying to get some updates on some of the stories we carried yesterday. They're either homeless and sleeping in their cars, or they're facing homelessness. Now, there are some very good people out there, and some information was forwarded on to me as it relates to some properties, which we'll try and get to the people it relates to. But there is a growing problem of just random homelessness, i.e. people who were in rental for 10 years or what have you, all of a sudden nowhere to go. The Irish Daily Mail tells us that more than 8 in 10 schools had no applications for advertised teaching jobs during the most recent school year, and will be barely able to cope when they reopen, a teachers' union has warned. Schools in Ireland are still seeking to recruit 186 teachers at primary level, 354 teachers at secondary level, according to the educationpost.ee website. The association, we might actually check that website to see how many vacancies there are in Donegal, just in case it gives a regional breakdown. Educationposts.ie. We'll see just what the situation is up here. The Association of Secondary Teachers Ireland said the teacher recruitment and retention crisis was continuing unabated. Schools are under enormous strain and many look like they'll barely be able to cope when they reopen shortly, a spokesperson said. And again, you know, the elephant in the room to some extent is that an awful lot of our teachers are teaching abroad somewhere else, and maybe we should be doing more to incentivize them to come back, but also making it fair. So in other words, their experience abroad is properly counted when they come back here in terms of pay scales and what have you. On Taoiseach, Simon Harris has said that there needs to be a radical reform of succession and inheritance tax in this in the years ahead to assist the next generation of farmers. This is the Farmers Journal's top story. Speaking to this newspaper, he said that changes to key inheritance taxes are being considered in Budget 25. Unfairness, anomalies, and also the impact on farmers and the likes are issues that are being seriously considered in the run-up to the budget, he said. There's been a massive amount of drugs seized by Gardaí between cannabis and cocaine and other illegal drugs over the last while. And apparently drug gangs trafficking cocaine into Ireland have been forced to increase their wholesale price by over a third as the Garda continue to disrupt operations. Since the state's largest seizure of the drug, the 157 million worth nabbed on board MV Matthew cargo ship last September, the risk of targeting Ireland with no cotton with narcotics has risen to new heights, with investigators making successive seizures, which, as I say, the wholesale price of the drug up a third. You might remember the controversy surrounding the Olympics. There was a boxer who was broadly misgendered and was described and presumed to be by many, it seems, without sort of checking it out, to be a woman who was born a man. But that is not the case. We're talking about a case now being taken by this person. J.K. Rowling has been named in a cyberbullying lawsuit filed by a Algerian-born boxer, Iman Khalif. The 25-year-old boxer recently won gold at the Paris Olympics, but she subsequently launched legal action against the Harry Potter author Elon Musk and other public figures over comments they made about her gender. And Nabil Baudi, Khalif's attorney, told Variety, J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk are named in the lawsuit, among others. The attorney also confirmed that former US President Donald Trump is part of the investigation. Baudi explained, Trump tweeted, so whether or not he is named in our lawsuit, he will inevitably be looked into as part of the prosecution. Khalif, who was born female and identifies as a woman, has alleged acts of aggregated cyber harassment. And J.K. Rowling, very prolific on Twitter, hasn't said a great deal since she misgendered that boxer. What's your favourite food? Burgers? I'm not a big fan of burgers. Not a big fan of pizza either. Certain pizzas alike. But anyway, apparently the cheeseburger has been voted the greatest food invention of all time, which I would not agree with. It saw off pizza and sandwiches to take 63% of votes in a poll. Fans say the perfect cheeseburger must have lettuce, bacon, ketchup and fried onions, the Iceland survey revealed. Fajitas were fourth, followed by toasties, mac and cheese, ugh, pork pies, delicious. Very hard to get pork pies, actually. I don't think really they're traditionally Irish. There's one or two shops get them. Pasties, never a fan. And hot dogs, don't like them either. But apparently the cheeseburger, the greatest food invention of all time. Do you agree with that? What is your favourite fast food? Your ultimate? A hoagie? What could it be? 086 60 25,000. That will distract you if you want to text on something, of course, a little more trivial. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We'll be joined by our first guests on the show very shortly. Stay right where you are. Now, we're joined by vet, Dr. Gerald Rorty. Good morning to you, Gerald. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, now, in fairness to you, Gerald, very passionate, and you have been very passionate about the establishment of a vet school here in County Donegal, and you use pretty much any opportunity you can to push for this. And we have three guests, by the way, to discuss this. But, Gerald, I just want you to sort of outline again, for those who may not be aware, where we're at and how important it is, I suppose, that we start actively trying to secure such a facility.
Well, the background is, Greg, as you know, I was involved in veterinary practice in Donegal for over 30 years, and we always had a massive, massive problem with recruiting vets to Donegal, mainly because there's only one vet school, and at the moment 50% of the Irish vets who are practicing, who are being trained, are actually being trained overseas. And it's an awful indictment on the entrance system within UCD Vet School that of the 27 brilliant post-primary schools that we have in Donegal, I know of only four of them who have ever succeeded in getting a vet into UCD Vet School. So in fairness to the present government, they have listened to the lobbying from the veterinary profession, and they have shortlisted three very good bids. One's Waterford, one's Limerick, and one's ATU, which is a combination of Letterkenny and Mount Bellew. Now, I really take my hat off to ATU. Initially, I was a wee bit cynical as to, you know, could we do it? But listen, Paul Hannigan, Orla Flynn, Joanne Gallagher, they've had tremendous foresight in putting together a really good bid. And we are in literally the last few weeks of this decision-making process. So Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for Higher Education, and Simon Harris will make this decision over the next few weeks. Now, the economic impact of a new vet school in Donegal is phenomenal. It's not just the fact we're producing vets, and hopefully a lot of them will be from Donegal and stay in Donegal. It's the impact it has on agriculture. It's the impact it has on small animal practice. It's the impact it has on induced research. And the impact, economic impact, if we look, for example, at the SRUC, the new vet school that went to Aberdeen, Bigger Economics did a presentation showing that the gross value added to the Aberdeen area was 28 million, generated over 240 jobs. In terms of people listening in today, you know, people are familiar with soccer. This is a bit like having a Premier Division university course as opposed to a First Division university course. If we can deliver a vet school, which I think ATU are well capable of delivering, then we can deliver anything. Medical faculty, we can deliver absolutely anything. But the most important thing to bear in mind is that there's a massive lobby at the moment by Limerick business people and Waterford business people to deliver a vet school for their areas. I think it would be scandalous if the three vet schools in the island of Ireland were off below the Shannon Liffey line. So what I'm appealing to is Donegal people to really get behind this fantastic bid from ATU. Charlie McConnell Oga has been really, really supportive. And I talked to Charlie recently about it. But bear in mind, you know, it's two Fine Gael people that are going to make this decision. We have no Fine Gael TD out of our five TDs. So at this stage, business in Donegal has to waken up and say, look, we are massively in support of the ATU's brilliant bid.
Gerald, can I ask just, you talked about the two other areas and they seem to get it, the wider impact of this, be it amongst the general public or in businesses. Why do you think the significance of this, a better question I think might be, what are they doing or who's driving that momentum for the other two applications and who's not doing it here?
Right. Well, I'll give you a little bit of an example. I have to declare a hand and say I'm very, very supportive also of the Limerick bid because I think geographically the ideal is ATU, Letterkenny Mount Bellew, Limerick and UCD. So I'll give you an example of the Limerick bid and to show you how professional they are. They actually had some people up at the Donegal, at the McGill Summer School to lobby all the various politicians recently for the Limerick bid. So JP McManus, Coolmore Stud, pretty much all the Chambers of Commerce, all business interests within maybe a 50-mile radius of Limerick have really, really got behind
this. But who's coordinating it?
I suppose...
Is it being coordinated and who's doing it?
It's being coordinated by business interests in Limerick who have probably appreciated compliments of the veterinary profession down there. So I suppose if I was to blame anybody, I would blame ourselves insofar as we don't have the numbers on the ground. The veterinary profession in Donegal is much, much smaller than you have down around the Golden Vale. And I suppose that the farm organisations also have put a tremendous push behind the Waterford bid and the Limerick bid. Probably I haven't been as successful as I hoped to be in getting across to agriculture and getting across to business interests in Donegal, the significance of the ATU bid.
Yeah, all right, stay there, because as you mentioned, the ATU is one of three colleges identified as the potential location for a vet school, with much of its work to be based at the ATU's Letterkenny campus. The ATU president, Dr. Orla Flynn, is with us also as well. So obviously, Dr. Flynn, a great deal of effort, I presume, and imagine, has been put into this from the ATU's perspective. Do you agree with all of or much of what Dr. Gerald Rorty has been saying?
First of all, good morning, and thank you very much for having me on this morning. I'm delighted to hear some of what Dr. Rorty has said there. I think it's really interesting. The team in ATU has been a collaborative effort. We've had Dr. Joanne Gallagher in Letterkenny, who already runs veterinary nursing in our Donegal campus. and Dr. Edna Curley, who's leading our Mount Bellew campus and Mount Bellew activities. And our initiative and our effort is a combined effort. It'll be a new veterinary hospital built in Letterkenny, and we are ideally aiming to invest further in Mount Bellew as well. And working in partnership with the veterinary surgeons right across the region. And I think for us, it's about the region, it's about building capacity in the region. It's a region that's been overlooked over down through many decades in terms of all kinds of infrastructure and other capacity building investments. So this is part of our mission, as we see it, is to help build that kind of capacity right across the northern and western region. We are also shortlisted for pharmacy, and pharmacy will be led from our Sligo campus and the expertise that we have there, but again, already pulling in expertise from right across the university. So, you know, this is really, really important to us. Dr. Rorty mentioned we estimate there's about 500 or 600 young Irish students currently studying abroad. So, you know, we've got farms and, families right across the northern and western region, and if they can send their children to Dublin, fair enough, if they can get in. Competition is extremely tight there, but the vast majority of them are sending their kids internationally to Poland or to the UK or Hungary to receive an education. And it's probably the top inquiry that we get every year. I know we'll be going into the higher options in Dublin now, and veterinary, when you start in veterinary, is probably the number one query that we are getting. So,
I mean, obviously, listen, I presume our, if I could say it, our application is incredibly strong. But I imagine the other two shortlisted applications are very strong also. We heard from Dr. Rorty there that there's, you know, big campaigns outside the ATUs or the colleges or universities, and it's extending into the business communities and the wider communities. Do you think we need to sort of do you agree that we need to get our act together and start maybe getting behind this at this late stage?
Well, any support that people can give us will be really welcome. You know, I'm not about to get into commenting on other bids. And I know that every region, you know, will have its own asks and its own needs. But the reality is that Ireland has been underserved more generally. Mm. You know, you have Scotland, and again, Dr. Rorty mentioned Edinburgh, Glasgow, and a new veterinary school in Aberdeen opening in a year or two. And my colleagues have visited there, and they have seen firsthand and have built up relationships there. So the idea that we should be battling among each other for an investment that one could argue that, you know, that Ireland should have, you know, should at least have three probably at this stage, given the population growth, given the importance of agriculture to Ireland's food security. I think this is an area that really needs a very strong focus among our...
Okay, and that's very gracious. Dr. Gerard Rorty's hoping to call a public meeting in Letterkenny in early September to get some support behind getting the vet school to Donegal. I'm sure, given your comments, you'd welcome any support, but is that something you would engage with as ATU president?
Well, we're very happy to provide information to the general public about the nature of our bid. Ultimately, the reason we were shortlisted is because it was seen by a HEA panel, the Higher Education Authority, who issued the expression of interest call. It was seen by them as a very credible bid, in fact, a strong bid. The collaborative nature between our campus in Mount Bellew and our expertise, the existing expertise in Donegal, and I would flag that we're the only one of the shortlisted colleges that already run veterinary nursing. But we were seen as a really credible bid. That kind of collaboration across the region, the partnerships with the existing veterinary practitioners right across the region, the experience that our students will have of spending a semester on a working farm, working with animals, handling animals, really sees how focused we are on supporting the agricultural industry. So we're happy to provide any information that people want about the programme. Our efforts, however, are going to go into developing curriculum, and we'd really like to see an outcome to the call so that we can get on with the hard work and designing the facility and so on.
Okay. Right, let's get a farming view. Well, we've already got that, but you know what I mean. I'm very interested in here. To hear from our next guest, Joe Sweeney, chair of the IFA in Donegal, Joe, locally, the IFA, are they fully behind this ATU?
Yeah, Greg, they are. Jared would have made contact with me back in February 23, and since then I have taken it up at the National Council. I've lobbied Martin Hayden, the junior minister, and Minister Charlie McConnell, and have even used the president at the minute of the AFA to lobby Simon Harris. Now, we did have a private meeting last Sunday at the Tullamore show with him, but I did use the president to put influence on the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, to put ATU at the top of the list. Now, as you say, there's competition from Waterford and Limerick, but I think Donegal needs this because at the minute we're struggling to get vets in the county. Like, there's areas that's just waiting hours for vets because they're simply not there. And as we know, it seems to be just getting harder and harder, especially with large animals. Mm-hmm. So we'll be 100% behind the bid to get the Vet College to ATU.
Okay. Regular listeners will know that Minister Charlie McConnell refuses to speak to me on this programme, but did send in a press release which reads, he's very supportive of the vet school application by ATU Letterkenny. It is one of three applications that have been successful in progressing to round two of the selection process for a new vet school. Minister McConnell secured $25 million in the recent National Development Plan for his department to co-fund the establishment of new vet college places along with the Department of Further and Higher Education. The selection process will progress this autumn, and Minister McConnell and being very clear in his view that regional balance and ensuring a strong future pipeline of large animal vets to support the farming sector must be key considerations for the selection process in finalising the successful location for the new vet college places. So listening to that, Dr. Rorty, does that sound like Minister McConnell supports all of the applications or has a particular leaning to the application by ATU Letterkenny?
No, I think as Joe made the point, IFA have been very successful in lobbying the minister. The minister has done tremendous work as Minister for Agriculture. I mean, I would single out his organic programme. I spoke to him a few weeks ago. Charlie is very, very passionate about delivering this for Donegal. And the great thing that the point that he made to me is that the ATU bid is a fantastic bid. And I mean, Dr. Flynn was very, very gracious in her comments on the other two colleges. I'm going to be very pointed to make the point that ATU bid is an incredibly good bid for the farming sector. So the UCD vet school that I went to, unfortunately, has become a ponies and puppies production line for vets who want to work in small animals, don't want to work in farming. And the one fantastic thing about the ATU bid, as reference, was the fact that the kids will spend the semester working on farms. So the ATU bid is a bid that's going to really, really be designed for the agricultural community. You know, it's a vet school that's going to deliver vets who will actually go into practice and stay in practice, because our big problem in the animal hospital, you know, over the last 20 years was getting people who actually wanted to stay in cattle practice as opposed to go off and work in small animals. It's fantastic that people would go and practice in small animals, but we actually need in Donegal people that are going to service the 9,500 farms of Donegal that, particularly in the west of the county, are struggling to get vets. I mean, there's an animal welfare implication in the fact that it's so, so difficult to get vets who want to go and calve cows, who want to go and work on farms. And at the moment, the whole bias has been from a lot of the schools, particularly the British schools, to produce vets who are going to work in small mm-hmm. animal practice. We have a very strong bid. The only disadvantage I keep coming back to is we're into politics. We're into the last shakedown. It's a bit like in the days of the late Neil T. Blaney, when there wasn't going to be a regional college in Donegal. He delivered it for us. And we're at a stage now where, as I said, Waterford and Limerick are working very hard to lobby. Okay. The one point I should make is in terms of regional balance. The big, big strength that ATU has is its collaboration with McGill and Ulster University. The six counties, for all sorts of reasons, doesn't have a vet school. And, you know, leaving politics aside, we're one epidemiological unit. Animal disease does not reference or respect borders. So we're ideally situated as well to service Northern Ireland. And it's something that we could and should be appealing for funding to the All-Ireland unit as well for funding okay. for the ATU bid. Because the west of Ireland is quite different from the east of Ireland in terms of farm practice. You know, when I looked for vets that were going to work for common practice in Donegal, I were looking in the lane for people who were going to work on extensive farms, which is the vast majority of farm production in Ireland. You know, the Limerick bid has been very forthright and very upfront in saying that they're looking to produce vets for the big intensive dairy farms in the Golden Vale. The one fantastic thing with the Mountain Bellew Agricultural College that A2U is going to co-host or run this course from is that it's based in the west of Ireland, it's familiar with west of Ireland agriculture, and we're going to actually have a course that's going to deliver vets and produce vets. Mm-hmm. They're going to actually be able to work and be familiar with the west of Ireland. Okay. And I keep coming back to as well to the fact that we have fantastic kids and a fantastic 27 post-primary schools in Donegal who have not been getting into UCD.
Yeah, I get you. That is important.
Nobody has been highlighting.
Yeah, of course. And I suppose just finally from you, Dr. Orifflin, you know, the fact that we have this A2U set up now and we are being shortlisted and in the running for very significant significant developments such as this, and you also mentioned pharmaceuticals. You know, we have come a long way that we can find ourselves in this position to be sort of one of three as it relates to vet schools. It's just a case of getting it across the line. And Gerald, as always, makes a strong point in terms of, two, you know, our northwest status, the cross-border element to this serving and considering Northern Ireland as well. Hopefully that works in our favour.
Yeah, and I think the point about the cross-border is a really interesting one. We have an MOU with Ulster University. We had a meeting, one of a regular series of meetings about that only last week. And we are talking about collaboration across a whole load of areas. Research would be one area, you know, where we want to see the growth in collaboration. But the issue around sustainability in small farms, smaller farms, the less intensive farming practices would be something that we'd be really mindful of. And preparing people for that kind of an environment is going to be a big part of the curriculum. The northern and western region and the disadvantage. I would urge any listeners to have a look at the Northern and Western Regional Assemblies website. They've published a regional infrastructure tracker only in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we're not getting our share of investment per head of population. We're vastly, I suppose, underserved in terms of the eastern region. The Dublin, Greater Dublin region continues to be overserved in terms of investments. And that's one of the other reasons why I think that, you know, our government is going to take a good long look at investing in the northern and western region. And I have to say, Minister McConnell-Logue has been dead straight throughout this process, and fair play to him. But I'd still like to hear an answer, an outcome to the call as quickly as possible.
OK, listen, thank you very much indeed for that, Dr. Orla Finn. And I'll come back to you in a moment as well. But I just want to put one. Sorry, I just want to put one question to you, Jared. I think really when we talk of, and it's right across the board, the underinvestment in students. I had the figures in my head at one time; they escape me now. But the per student investment in education is so much lower up here than it is in other parts of Ireland, which talks to the political element to these decisions. Okay, so the closer you are to the seats of power, the more likely you to be successful. And we need positive discrimination in this regard and others.
Of course we do, Greg. I mean, I actually think it's scandalous, the underrepresentation of Donegal students in faculties like medicine, veterinary, dentistry, pharmacy. And it's brilliant that A2U have a really, really good bit for pharmacy as well. If you look at, you know, the fantastic students that we had in the vets in the Donegal Animal Hospital over the last 20 years, I could probably count you at about 300 students in transition year or their leaving cert years who attended with us and did their application. Their first place application was to do veterinary in UCD. And unfortunately, because of the way South County Dublin has totally skewed the points race in Pearse in favour of grind schools costing 30,000 a year, they weren't accepted. Those were students who would have went on to be fantastic vets practicing in the west of Ireland or practicing in Donegal. And I have every confidence that A2U will be able to find a way to ensure that the people who are going to get places at ATU will be people who will come back and practice in Donegal.
And just one we have to move on, but a question to Joe as well, Joe Sweeney, chair of the IFA Donegal. If Dr. Gerard Rorty calls a public meeting in early September, the association would be fully behind it, yeah?
100% would be behind it, surely, because we definitely need the school in Donegal. And as Gerard says, it's just to get them good students that's coming from that background to get them into the college locally rather than looking for Dublin or one and two heading to Eastern European Poland and Hungary for an education.
Yeah, and those that do head to those countries are the ones that are prepared to travel. Not everybody is, especially if they're involved in a family farm or what have you. So the figure that's missing is those that don't go to vet school because they simply don't want to travel or can't. All right, thanks very much, Joe. As always, take care of yourself. Yeah. Finally, Dr. Rorty, when is this public meeting going to be called, if at all?
It will be. It'll be first week of September. Obviously, people are coming back off holidays. I'm actually sitting in Namibia at the moment, having been working in Zambia and Zimbabwe, so I have to get myself back there. And so we've been difficult to coordinate things from here. But I've been talking to Tony Forrester in the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce, who's massively supportive of this bid as well. So we'll be back to you in the show with actual details and times very, very shortly.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Where did you say you're speaking to us from, sorry?
I'm actually on the Skeleton Coast in Namibia because I've been working in Zimbabwe the last wee while and it's too hot. So we've come over to the Atlantic Coast here for a few days and then we're heading back over to back to the crocodile farm.
Right, okay, remarkable. Okay, great stuff. Thank you. Isn't it amazing? Modern technology. He's in Namibia. That's Dr. Gerard Rorty. Joe Sweeney, the chair of the IFA in Donegal, also joined us. And we heard too from ATU President Dr. Orla Flynn. The Donegal Food Response Network, supported by the Donegal Local Development Company, has urgently launched its back-to-school appeal for donations to your local community groups, helping those most affected by financial pressures. We've a number of guests. I'm going to say good morning first to Margaret Larkin, Head of Operations at Donegal Local Development Company. Good morning to you, Margaret. Are you there, Margaret, or can you hear me? I wonder, can you hear me, Roseanne?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, I'll start with you. Okay, this is Roseanne Nichalhor of CDP Narussan. What demands are what services are provided and what demands are currently on them?
Well, through the food network, we provide food parcels and stuff like that. But at the minute, we're finding that the high cost of sending your child back to school or starting school is putting parents under an awful lot of pressure. So you know, with regards buying books and new uniforms and school shoes and stuff like that. So we're seeing parents going without themselves to make sure that their kids are set up. So really what we're looking for is donations towards this for us to help those families get their kids set up for school.
I heard one quote which said, demand for assistance has skyrocketed.
Mm. Yeah, it has. We've seen a big rise in it here in the Gaeltacht and the Rosses area, with families coming in just looking for help setting their kids up and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, you can see the cost of bills and everything are going up, but the cost of the salaries are not going up along with it. So families are really, really struggling.
And is it a mixture of families with sort of different income levels, backgrounds, whether they're able to work or not?
Yeah, so I mean, you've got working class families, and then you've got single parents and single people. So yeah, it's across the board. There's no one person affected by it.
Tony Nichuran of Donegal Environmental and Cultural Group. Tanya, I presume your experience echoes that of Roseanne and those at the CDP Narussan.
Unfortunately, it does, Greg. Yeah, we're seeing a huge increase in families with needs that they just can't meet themselves.
Yeah. And it's great that people are coming forward seeking help because, you know, that can be a challenge. People try and deal with stuff on their own, but there are fantastic organisations like yours. They're available to help, but we need the stuff to meet the needs.
We do. Yeah, we're very lucky that we do have good support from some of the retailers and local community individuals and businesses and that. But unfortunately, we just can't meet the demand. You know, we're seeing people are presenting who are both working you know, you have two working adults in the house and they just can't support their family. And like it's been repeated across the board, they're going without.
What kind of donations are most needed, or is it across the board donations?
It's a whole variety of stuff, from, you know, hygiene products to food to children's books, uniforms. It's everything that's, you know, for everyday life that we need.
And vouchers and cash, of course, you know, different schools have different books or different needs. So that's a very useful donation as well.
Yeah. Books, uniforms, you know, even like lunches. Children, I've seen children go without lunches or going with very inappropriate lunches because their parents just can't afford it.
It's very difficult for parents, really is, because we all want to do our best for our children. But when your situation is such that you simply can't, you've made other sacrifices at home, but you still can't stretch your means to meet your children's needs. Margaret, can you hear me now, I wonder?
I'm sorry, Greg. Yeah, I couldn't.
That's no problem. I had to kick you out and bring you back in. You're head of operations at Donegal Local Development Company. And we've heard from Roseanne, we've heard from Tonya. There are a number of community organisations right across the county, and the message is the same from all.
Yeah, Greg. The Donegal Food Response Network was set up about 2 years ago, and we have, pre-COVID, or just at the onset of COVID. And what we have seen is, unfortunately, the situation is getting worse instead of better. There's 21 different organisations involved in the network, and year on year, we just see that the numbers are increasing consistently. I think currently there's around 640 families across the county that are being supported on a weekly basis, which is phenomenal. The landscape's very different in rural and urban. Obviously, there's, you know, the two ladies, Tonya and Roseanne, who are fantastic advocates in their own areas, are both more rural areas, so they would know their families, you know, and their client base quite well on a personal level. And then obviously in Letterkenny, it's a different situation where you have people literally queuing for food for Letterkenny food banks. But across the board, there's a huge demand, and particularly at this time of year, it does increase. Mm-hmm. I suppose from a network's perspective, I spoke to you this time last year, Greg, and we had just sort of, you know, we were using that bottom-up approach to try and meet the top, you know, and trying to, I suppose, push this problem up the line to try and get a county-wide sort of response to it, because it is huge. There's that stigma, and there's the, I suppose, embarrassment for a family and all of that. But for us, over the past year, we were really trying hard to collect hard data and evidence, mm-hmm. you know, to present, to try and bring around change. And what we're hearing more and more from the organisations involved is that, yes, there's an issue with food. I mean, there's food insecurity is a huge issue, but that comes with other social and economic factors as well. And there's other challenges within families that are not being addressed. You know, we're so much in the fire of trying to meet that initial demand for food that the wraparound service just isn't there. You know, there's mental health problems.
So in this process, you sort of learn that, hold on, yeah, there's other maybe arms of the state that should also be responding to this situation, because it's not simply, you know what I mean, though. It's not just there's low income levels or what have you. There's other things that we really should be targeting towards. And one other thing, a trend we'd seen in the past is that those people who had been contributors in the past were now, you know, seeking assistance. Or, you know, we used to see a trend in the past, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's in this area, Margaret, where people would come in and out, but now people are needing consistent support. Is that still the case? Is that accurate?
Absolutely. We are finding, as Roseanne mentioned, it's very much the working poor, but it's people that maybe before would have needed a little bit of help, but they're continually coming back, because, Greg, what happens is people just fall into that poverty trap, and once you're in it, it's very hard to get out of it. You need a lot of wraparound services to support people out of that trap. So it's continually, it's people becoming more and more reliant, and it's often that sort of situation where people just can't make it to Friday. They don't need support all week or continuously, but on ad hoc and here and there, they just can't make it to Friday. As Tony says, on a Wednesday evening, there isn't food in the fridge for the kids for lunch on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose what we're seeing more and more now is, you know, we talked about this before, where no parent wants their child to go back to school without the shoes or the jacket or whatever it is. So, I mean, parents themselves are sacrificing meals in order to ensure that their kids go back to school. Like, there was a survey carried out recently on behalf of Barnardo's by an association with Aldi, and it sort of identified that 41% of parents out of 460 people surveyed that have children under 18, 41% of parents would have said that they skip meals or reduce portions in order to save money.
Yet we still don't have, you know, generic coloured uniforms where we can iron on a badge, or we don't have to have branded tracksuits as well. There's so much stuff we could be doing to make life a little bit easier. Roseanne, I might come back to you, and I'm not criticising this listener, but I think sometimes we try and make out a problem's not as bad as it is, because it makes us feel a little bit better about the situation. And the first line of this is, sometimes I do wonder why the issue of cost of school is such a big issue, yet many of these kids are carrying the latest iPhone. I think I can make a bold prediction here, and I don't think those that are coming to CDP Narossan seeking help to literally feed their children and to clothe their children are walking around with the latest iPhones.
No, I mean, that's not the reality, Greg, to be honest with you. You know, like Margaret and Tanya have said, that the people that are coming in here, unfortunately, are falling into the poverty trap. You know, there's so many more services. But no, I mean, the people that are coming in here really need our help, and they're not coming in here carrying iPhones, and their kids are not carrying iPhones. That's not reality.
Okay, now, in terms of, this is a crazy analogy, right, but say, for instance, in terms of blood donations, lots of us want to give blood, but we don't know how to do it. It's too complicated. How do you do it? And then there's a cohort of people that do it consistently, right? And I feel maybe this is a bit like this. So I want to make it as clear as possible to listeners that if they've been moved from this conversation and want to actually contribute, what's the easy way for us to do that? I don't know if you want to take that, Roseanne, but I just want it to be as clear as possible that if people are saying, do you know what, I actually have a few extra euro and I think I could help people out here. So how, first timers, how do we contribute? And I can put the question to all of you if you like, but I'll start with you, Roseanne.
Well, I mean, you can come in here to the CDP TOS and make your cash donation if you like, or there's a link through the Donegal Food Response Network website where they can make a donation online. So it's, you know, you can do it online, you can do it on person, whatever.
Okay.
In person,
so we'll link on our social, the Donegal Food Response Network URL, because I wouldn't know where to even start to find you, if you know what I mean. And
yeah,
I want to remove as many potential barriers as possible. Yeah. And that's not a criticism, you know that, don't you, Roseanne?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tanya, what about you guys at the Donegal Environmental and Cultural Group? How, if someone's moved by this, how can they donate today to you? Is it through the URL, or what about in person?
Yeah, it is through the URL, but it can be done in person as well. We have an office here in Ramelton, in Market Cross, so people are very welcome to come in and if they wish to make a donation. But can I also say, Greg, just in relation to the cost of living, in that a lot of the people that I find that we're supporting, their rents are through the roof.
Yeah.
Rent is just incredibly... it's impossible to keep up with the rents that are being paid at the moment.
That's what's driving a lot of the poverty that we're seeing.
Yeah, it is. I'm finding that in our community, that it's rent is the biggest problem.
Okay, Tanya Ní Coireann, keep up the great work, you and the crew at the Donegal Environmental and Cultural Group. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Roseanne Ní Gallagher of CDP Narossan. Take care of yourself, and as I say, also keep up that fantastic work that you're doing.
You.
And last but not least, Margaret Larkin, Head of Operations at Donegal Local Development Company. Thank you for helping us to try and get the message across there.
Thank you, Greg.
And I think we did, clearly. Thanks so much. Okay.